Well, Dr. Suzanne Rickard, State Director of SUTA, and Tony Tobin, State President of SUTA, members of SUTA's Board of Governors, my parliamentary colleagues, Deputy Premier Tebbit and Treasurer Roosendaal, and I understand Mike Baird's also here, business leaders, consular representatives, distinguished guests. Firstly, my thanks to SUTA for inviting me to speak to you today. SUTA is a respected and truly independent body committed to Australia's economic welfare and drawing its members from a very wide cross-section of our society, from business, from the universities, from leaders in many fields, all committed to Australia's economic welfare. So this is very much the right forum at the right time because we face the gravest global economic downturn since the Great Depression, a global economic event which every one of us has a job to do, a role to play, an obligation and a responsibility to put the nation's interests first. Now, whether that's the federal government or the states, industry or small business, unions, banks, regulators and local councils, we need to tackle this challenge with a common resolve and a shared determination. Because nothing less than the well-being of our nation is at stake, the jobs and security of countless Australians. So, in that context, this is no time for government to sit on the sidelines, no time for distractions, and certainly no time to play politics. Now, we've shown as a nation in recent days, responding to the terrible calamity in Victoria, when we opened our hearts to the flood victims in Queensland and closer to home, battling fire and flood victims here in New South Wales. That's the spirit of solidarity that we need to demonstrate, the spirit of unity that we need to demonstrate in the face of the new economic challenge. The rising unemployment threat, the threat of recession. There is no choice, and for now, there can be only one answer. An unprecedented challenge demands an unprecedented response. We must do everything in our power to invest in jobs. Jobs and more jobs. As quickly and as sensibly as we possibly can. Quality jobs, jobs now, and jobs for the future. Jobs that will not only put money in pockets, but also give hope for the future. Because investing in the right jobs now will relieve present hardship and build future prosperity. Now, every government in Australia, state and federal, is united in pursuing this goal for recovery. You've heard from the experts. I don't need to elaborate on the scale of the crisis or analyse its causes. What began in the US and spread quickly to Europe has ultimately infected the world. Every day, news from overseas paints a bleaker picture. As I was leaving, I noticed the news cast some 47,000 jobs from General Motors gone today. So the world's economy is seeing its lowest growth rate in decades, expected to grow by just half of 1% in 2009. Now, half of Australia's top 10 trading partners are already in recession, with seven expecting their economies to contract this year. Recessions in the United States, in Europe and Japan are set to deepen, and the latest news from Japan is especially worrying, the sharpest fall in exports and gross domestic product in 35 years. In the key economies of China and India, growth is expected to slow. Now, in some ways, of course, we're lucky in Australia. The Australian economy is fundamentally strong. We've had 17 consecutive years of economic growth. Our banks are among the most secure and best regulated in the world. And for that, we can thank the economic reforms and stewardship of successive Australian governments, and more recently, the Rudd government's bank deposit guarantee. But to be realistic, and it's incumbent on us to be realistic, things are likely to get worse before they get better in Australia, in New South Wales. Whatever we do now, however swift and far-reaching our response, we cannot completely avoid pain. What we can do, and what we will do, is respond decisively to invest in jobs and ease that pain. The state government has a key role to play. We will not sit back and leave all the hard work to the Commonwealth. As the nation's leading financial centre, Sydney and New South Wales is more exposed to the international market fallout than other states. We are in many ways first in the firing line when international financial conditions get tough. Now, we didn't start this crisis, but Sydney, as the nation's financial capital, is being hit hard. So I give this pledge that the entire thrust of the state government's response will be to invest in jobs, to position New South Wales to come out of the downturn stronger than when we went in. As Premier, I will be devoted to that goal. Now, every government in the industrialised world has grasped the simple fact that action is both urgent and necessary. Every government in the world has devised some form of economic Now, there have been grumblings from some sceptics, but sitting back simply isn't an option. Half measures aren't an option. As a nation, we have an historic opportunity to work together, to work our way, to build our way out of these difficult times. The Prime Minister's $42 billion stimulus package is mobilising the full force of the national government to deliver practical solutions in difficult economic times. And New South Wales is with the PM all the way. My government will fast-track the delivery of the infrastructure projects announced by the Prime Minister, and we will be implementing a massive infrastructure program of our own. Indeed, that program is already well advanced. This year alone, our government is investing $13.9 billion in job-creating infrastructure, investing in schools, investing in hospitals and roads. Next year, we will invest another $14.7 billion. In 2011, a further $13 billion. This is the largest infrastructure program of any state government in Australia over the next 4 years and is the largest in Australian history. Now, this investment will sustain, on average, 150,000 jobs each year in New South Wales. Now, of course, Labor governments in this state have always invested heavily in infrastructure. It's become fashionable for some to think otherwise, but the facts are strong, the facts are plain. The New South Wales government funded and delivered the best ever Olympics, building exceptional sporting and other facilities without the debt hangover experienced by other cities. In partnership with the private sector, we delivered the M7 Westlink, for example. We've invested more than $1.6 billion upgrading the Pacific Highway, and we've invested in the M5 East Motorway, 94 railway station upgrades, 140 plus Millennium new train carriages, the 30 kilometres Liverpool to Parramatta Transit Way, and we've invested more than $9 billion to rebuild or upgrade our public hospitals, more than 200 of them across the state, almost every single one of them rebuilt or refurbished. And there's a lot more. As Ross Gittins pointed out in the Sydney Morning Herald on Monday, the states, and New South Wales especially, have been spending and borrowing for infrastructure and other programs on a much bigger scale than the federal government. Gittins made the point that the necessary decisions the government made in November, I call them necessary, must be seen in the context of New South Wales' massive commitment to expansionary programs in our budget last June and those before. In this year's budget, I should also highlight the cut to payroll tax, a $1.9 billion stimulus measure that we are delivering as businesses head into tougher times. Over the next 4 years, the New South Wales government's direct investment in infrastructure will be added to by the measures announced by the Prime Minister and endorsed by all state ministers 2 weeks ago. For New South Wales, there are huge benefits in the Commonwealth stimulus package. I have to say, I have been disappointed in Opposition Leader Turnbull's approach and the New South Wales opposition approach to that stimulus package as they fought to block it. But $42 billion in a stimulus package that will support jobs and deliver for local communities with new school halls, libraries, science labs, classrooms, as well as roads and major housing projects right across New South Wales. And the one-off payment to families and farmers doing it tough will pay some bills and make that household budget a little bit easier. Now, I don't buy the line that because people saved some of the money and paid off some debt from the Commonwealth's pre-Christmas package that the economy didn't get the retail stimulus it needed. In fact, as we know, retail sales boomed in December. Stimulus packages do work, and if people need to pay off some debt to get the confidence to spend, then I'm all for that. It makes me more confident that these latest measures will succeed. Take housing, for example. In the Commonwealth package, Housing New South Wales expects to receive around $2 billion for new social housing across the next 2 years. On schools, out of the Commonwealth schools package of $14.7 billion, the New South Wales share is about $5.2 billion. So there will be work at schools across the state, almost every school a building site, and government and non-government schools, 3,000 of them. And all these extra sums are in addition to the outlays already committed by the New South Wales government on more education facilities, more construction, more jobs. Now, I want to list just a few examples of what we're doing as a state because I want everyone in this room to understand the scale of our commitment, to investing in essential infrastructure and jobs. There's a $950 million reconstruction of Royal North Shore Hospital, some 10,500 jobs there. The latest redevelopment of Liverpool Hospital, some $380 million. The expansion of Port Botany, $750 million, an investment in port capacity and efficiency. $1.6 billion for the Pacific Highway, including the Coffs Harbour and Ballina bypasses, and Mike, you've had something to do with that. The Port Kembla inner harbour development, some $96 million there. Now, our greatest challenge arising from the extra Commonwealth money is to ensure that the funds go straight to their target without delays. On top of the state's own infrastructure outlays, $13.9 billion this year alone, the New South Wales public sector will be pushed to deliver more, and that's why we must do at least these two things. Firstly, we need to remove all unnecessary obstacles to planning approvals for projects under the stimulus package. Secondly, the Commonwealth package must be delivered in a partnership between the public and the private sector, in a way perhaps unseen since the massive Olympic capital program. For that reason, I announce today that the New South Wales Government will introduce legislation to fast-track the approval, procurement and delivery of all projects under the stimulus package. The new legislation will establish the role of the Infrastructure Coordinator General, a Commonwealth Government requirement. The Infrastructure Coordinator General will have full responsibility to deliver all of these projects within the timeframes set by the Commonwealth. Under this legislation, the Coordinator General will have power to declare that these projects are not subject to the usual New South Wales planning, local government and other approvals legislation. Now, when exempting work from the usual approvals, the legislation, the Coordinator General will have regard to certain planning and environmental principles as is appropriate. But he will determine that no approvals are required for the works or that they be subject to a streamlined process set up under the new Act. What this means in principle is that the projects under the stimulus package will be approved immediately by the Coordinator General, and the New South Wales projects, with the support of the Commonwealth, will appear as a schedule to the legislation. They'll be in the Act. The Infrastructure Coordinator General will have special powers to establish tendering and procurement processes and take over projects if an agency is unlikely to deliver on time. Also, where a project timetable is at risk, the Infrastructure Coordinator General will have a reserve power to override normal approval processes. The new legislation will apply until all the projects have been completed. Now, these tough measures, which relate directly to the Commonwealth Economic Stimulus Package, are necessary to make sure we protect as many jobs as possible. I also announce today the appointment of Bob Leith as the Infrastructure Coordinator General. Bob Leith is one of the most experienced public servants in Australia, with a reputation for delivering projects such as the Sydney Olympics. He was instrumental to that. And as Infrastructure Coordinator, Bob will head up a special task force with agencies such as the Department of Housing and Education. In this role, Bob Leith will be the key person to develop the government's partnership with the private sector to deliver these projects. I've also asked the Minister for Planning, Christina Keneally, to amend the Infrastructure State Environmental Planning Policy to streamline the approval processes further for schools and social housing projects. The changes will extend existing provisions for public schools, and this will enable all schools, public and private, to cut red tape, to build their own gyms, school halls and libraries. And where the Department of Housing is the proponent, they will be able to self-assess and determine development of up to 20 dwellings in residential zones. Now, these are bold measures. Unprecedented challenges demand unprecedented responses. And under the COAG agreement, signed on February 5, New South Wales and the other states have to meet the timeframe set out in the agreement to qualify for the Commonwealth funding. It's important to understand precisely what this means. If we don't meet the timetable set by the Commonwealth, then we will forfeit the funds and the jobs that go with it. The Commonwealth has us on the hook to spend the money urgently and sensibly on schools and housing. For example, to receive funds for primary schools, states are required to prioritise schools into three funding rounds for Commonwealth approval. Under round one, construction must start no later than June this year. All right, we're in February now. Round two has to start by July and August this year. And under round three, construction has to start by December of this year. Now, I have no quarrel at all with the Commonwealth's sense of urgency. How could I, when this is about jobs and construction? As I've said, we're in this together. Weeks, months, even days can make a difference. So I have, with my Cabinet colleagues and senior public servants, got down to work straight away, down to the urgent, serious planning of how the New South Wales public sector can, in partnership with the private sector, get these projects approved and built now. The New South Wales Government's response to the Rudd stimulus package is just one stage of our overall response to the economic downturn. I've mentioned before our $13.9 billion capital program already well underway, underpinning 150,000 jobs. I've mentioned our commitment to deliver in full the payroll tax cuts previously foreshadowed. Yesterday, I announced 4,000 new government apprenticeships and 2,000 public sector cadetships that will be created over the next 4 years. Now, these provide opportunities for young people to access training and jobs, and provides more skilled young workers for our economy. And there will be more. Next week, my government will host a two-day job summit with industry and community leaders. Many of you in this room will be attending. The summit on February 26 and 27 will bring together some of the state's major employers, representatives from the sectors most likely to suffer from the global downturn, and those with the greatest potential for growth. It's critical that the largest employment sectors, retail, construction services, and services more generally, can work closely together with government in the present climate. As Premier, I'm ready to respond forcefully to practical, clever suggestions from those who attend the Job Summit and elsewhere. I want people to come forward, not with dog-eared wish lists, but with practical ideas, ways to invest wisely and maximise employment growth. I believe if we're far-sighted, clever and practical, we can turn this immediate challenge to our longer-term advantage. It can be a force for a stronger state economy and ultimately a stronger nation. Now, another part of my government's response involves strengthening our direct representation in key economies, and that's why I'm working to strengthen our business and trading relations with China and India. New South Wales' largest merchandise trading partner is China, and the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, one of the most heavily capitalised anywhere in the world, which is good news at the present, recently opened its first commercial branch in Sydney, September last year, one of the first functions I did as Premier. 2 weeks ago, I signed an MOU between New South Wales and Henan Province. That agreement will allow us to work together in the fields of trade, in agriculture, mining, forestry, science and technology, tourism, culture and importantly, education. Already, New South Wales and Henan Province are cooperating on a number of projects, one involving the University of New South Wales in developing new environmentally friendly technologies. Now, these are smart choices and they give me greater confidence for the future. Yes, we are putting more money into school buildings, but we're also investing in the future by raising the school leaving age. Not just the bricks and mortar, but the policy settings as well. What we've done is ensure that from next year, every New South Wales student will complete their school certificate. In addition, until the age of 17, a student in New South Wales will be required to either be at school, in training, or in a job. This, in combination, is an historic educational reform. The first changes to the leaving age since 1943. In addition to that, we're supporting emerging industries, those with the potential to create new jobs in technology, communications, creativity and design. This will further enhance New South Wales as the clever state. On these emerging industry sectors, creating high skill and green jobs, I'll have more to say on those at the Job Summit next week and beyond. But ladies and gentlemen, for every challenge, there must be a measured, equal response to the task. And these are unprecedented times and unprecedented challenges. From the New South Wales government, you can count on this, that I will drive through the full resources of the government an unprecedented response. More investment in jobs and infrastructure, we'll be investing in a better future, and that's what my job as Premier is about. I thank you very much for your time today and look forward to fielding questions and commentary as Mark ensues.